from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. My name is Clint.
And I am Barry, and I am no longer coming to you live from my bathroom. I am back in the office.
How was your time in the bathroom?
Oh, it was fun. It was nice to do the podcast in a completely different spot where I'm like had the microphone balanced on something and while I'm sitting on the floor. So I'm back to being in a chair at a desk.
You should have took a picture of that and posted it on Twitter.
Yeah, no.
Real quick, recap of today's show coming up. We got we're gonna do a little recap of our meetup at Jurassic Park. We went to the Jurassic World Alive social media meetup, so we'll talk about that. Also, Universal related, we're gonna talk about the new water show that they announced. And Disney wise, we're gonna talk about the big announcement out of Tokyo. The big expansion there with Tangled, Frozen, and Peter Pan. And then we'll talk some trailers. We got Grinch, Dumbo, Halloween.
And then we are going to review Incredibles 2.
Yep. So
that'll be the last thing we do because we're going to talk about everything about the movie.
Yeah, we figured, you know, it's no Infinity War, so we'll kind of go over everything and give our thoughts on it. And just kind of... give our because I saw it today and you saw it. You went to the Disney.
I saw it last Saturday before most people got to see it.
Yeah, so I went early this morning with my church and we saw like the 10:30 showing this morning. So I think that's the earliest I've been to a movie in a while. 10:30 in the morning. So
yeah.
First things first, we're going to talk international news with Disney, like I said, and we're going to talk about this big expansion. Coming to Tokyo Disney Sea with...
Yeah, I mean, hello to our... What is our average 40, 50 people who download the podcast in Japan?
Yeah, our number two audience,
yes,
Tokyo.
Tokyo Disney Sea is getting a gigantic expansion of three lands, or I should say, what... Is it one port, three different themes, and a hotel? And
yep.
Two of them aren't surprising that we're getting, but the third one's sort of shocking until I guess you do a little bit more digging and you find out how popular Peter Pan still is in Japan.
I had to do a double take when I was like, okay, Tangled, okay, Frozen. What? Peter Pan? I was like, that's random.
Peter
but,
what?
Yeah. And apparently, like you said, Peter Pan is huge over in Japan.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that being said, it makes perfect sense. And the concept art they released shows the land area with Captain Hook's ship, and it looks like it'll be a really cool area.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting a brand new... you know, two different rides in the Peter Pan area. They're getting a brand new modern style Peter Pan ride where, you know, guests will join Peter Pan in an adventure to rescue Wendy's younger brother, John, who's been kidnapped by Captain Hook and the pirates. And you will board boats and follow the Lost Boys down a river. Sounds very familiar, sort of like Pirates Shanghai. There, you know, that's sort of been the rumor that this might be using that technology for this. And if that is true, this is going to be one hell of a Peter Pan ride.
Yeah, and finally, our still here at Magic Kingdom is insanely popular to this day.
Yeah, and ours is the worst in the world. So.
Yeah, I've never understood why that ride's so popular.
Yeah, but. it's like, and apparently, you know, you'll start on a river, and then, you know, then Tinkerbell arrives, sprinkles pixie dust on the boats, and then next thing you know, they're flying Neverland. So this sounds pretty freaking impressive, and
Yeah, and then the second attraction is it's going to be centered around Tinkerbell and Pixie Hollow. So
they don't really go into what it is, whether it's some sort of flat ride or what. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a restaurant.
This really interests me. The Lost Boys.
Yeah, inspired by the Lost Boys and their hideout.
Yeah. I was like, because I love the Lost Boys and just them as characters in the movie. So when I was going through the press release and I saw that they were doing a Lost Boys hideout restaurant, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean that's just, you know, the concept art is pretty neat looking. And I mean, because basically, and we've seen Skull Rock and Captain Hook's ship before, at Disneyland Paris has that.
I think so, yeah.
And then Disneyland used to have like Skull Rock years ago. A huge Peter Pan area. Then there's Tangled, which will be getting another ride, that you'll follow Rapunzel to the Lantern Festival. And
This is another one that they're kind of vague on as far as the description goes.
Yeah, it's like you'll board gondolas for a romantic board boat tour through Rapunzel's best day ever as she journeys with Flynn to the Lantern Festival. Yeah, it's not really. They do mention tons of lanterns flickering in, like the main scene and one of the most beautiful animated scenes of any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
is the lantern scene. This definitely sounds like it could be a pretty impressive looking dark ride, and there will be there'll be a restaurant inspired by the hideout of the thugs from the movie. I can't remember off the top of my name the name of the inn.
The Snuggly Duckling.
Yeah, the Snuggly Duckling. So. Yeah, that looks impressive. And of course, the one we've sort of known for a while was coming to Disney Sea was Frozen and Arendelle.
Wait. Going back to Tangled. The question is, are they going to get the Tangled toilets?
Well, I'm sure they'll get some sort of. Yeah, they're getting the tower.
Yeah.
So I imagine they're going to get some sort of bathrooms in there somewhere, but. Hey, they're getting a land of a real, actual land of Tangled. So, as if we weren't already jealous enough of Tokyo Disney.
Yeah,
this entire announcement just as someone as Disney World people, it's just like
yeah.
What? And then of course they're getting an actual Frozen land.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'll go into Arendelle and, this is a boat ride again, but, I'll be interesting. I will be shocked if it's a carbon copy. There's been different talks about like what the actual ride might be, there's been talk of it like using like the technology that Winnie the Pooh's Honey Hut has, where you'll go into different areas that might where you might actually move in different directions. But I don't know. It says they're board boats, so it might be a similar to the one we have.
I don't know if they would do an exact clone of Maelstrom.
No, I can't imagine, especially capacity-wise, they would do an exact clone. It's definitely different than what's been talked about in the past, where it was like where you would like board a sled.
Yeah,
and
which makes sense because the roller coaster that they're getting over in
Hong Kong.
Thank you. All these Frozen announcements lately have gotten me all mixed up. They added like we talked about. A couple episodes ago when they announced that the roller coaster, that one's going to be a sled too. So,
yeah. So, I mean, obviously, concepts change over time. Like I said, it's a boat ride, but I cannot imagine it's a carbon copy of the one here because just due to capacity wise and also due to the fact that Tokyo's usually takes everything up a notch.
Yeah.
And there'll be another restaurant in this set inside the actual castle.
Yeah.
There was
some discussion about this land, you know, there were some people that were upset saying that it doesn't quite fit into Tokyo DisneySea, because Tokyo DisneySea is this gorgeous, unique park. And now Disney's just slapping these three IPs in there, like, it's you know.
Yeah, but technically, all three of these lands, all three of these areas are places that border on the sea.
Yeah.
You know, both the kingdom that Tangled and Frozen in are both on the water.
They're both like on the shore.
Yeah, and then of course Neverland is an island. So I think they all still tie into the sea theme.
There's just still a bunch of people that have butt hurt of Disney throwing all these IPs in the parks lately.
Yeah, but I think you know, first of all, Disney doesn't make the choices that go into Tokyo Disney.
Yeah.
Disney, the Oriental Land Company does. And they know Nintendo's coming.
Yeah. There were a lot of people saying that, too. This is them gearing up for the...
Yeah.
The globe down the street.
And they're, you know, they're putting in... They're, you know, they know that they... Especially between Nintendo and then... the Olympics exposes Japan again to the world.
Yeah.
So usually there's a boost in tourism after that time. Mm-hmm. And they already have had issues for years with capacity in Disney Sea of not having enough attractions.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good addition. I mean, this if you're going to add IPs, good Lord, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting in, you know, themed
lands. Good mix.
Yeah, I mean, and I would, I'm sure both you and me both would love to have all three of these things here.
Yeah, as much as I poke fun at Frozen, I really enjoy the movie, and I wish we had a better Frozen attraction or land here in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, and I like Tangled way more than Frozen, and you know, there's been talk of years of a Tangled show or a Tangled ride.
Remember Tangled's replacing Small World, didn't you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been all different talks like that, and well, now Tokyo is getting it, and then, you know, on top of all that, they're also getting a hotel located in, I should say a second hotel located inside the park.
Yeah. And this one's going to be a top-notch bad boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, going to be a 475 room, you know. Much like the other hotel, there will be park-facing rooms where you'll be able to look into the park. You know, and I imagine that the hotel will also have a gate directly into the park.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a gate that goes right into one of these new lands, even.
Yeah, so it's a full-blown thing, you know, and I think, you know, even though they haven't announced it, this is the future, especially when it comes to, you know, high-end deluxe Disney hotels, is you're going to see more and more in-park hotels. You know, there's a rumor about one coming to Epcot here.
Yeah.
This is the type of thing you're going to see in the future. And we've seen it done before. You know, it's the one, the MiraCosta at DisneySea already is perfectly integrated into the park.
Yeah.
You know, same thing, the Disneyland Hotel at Disneyland Paris is perfectly integrated into the park.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And I mean, in California, you have the Grand California, which is sort of... I mean, it just has a backdoor entrance to California Adventure.
Yeah, but it's still perfectly integrated into that section of California Adventure.
Yeah. There was skimming over the information about it, like you said, 475 rooms, luxury type resort, so it'll be a very fancy schmancy top end resort, and Disney really didn't release any other details other than that. So
yeah, I mean, the rumored opening date for this stuff is like 2022. Because the enhancements to Tokyo Disneyland are supposed to start coming online in 2020. So this is part of their major plan to really add more and upgrade the experience at Tokyo Disney.
Yeah. So that's it for Disney news, both international and here. It's been kind of quiet here stateside. We got the Guardians of the Galaxy show started at Epcot, which me and Barry have failed miserably to get out to and check out. But sure enough, we'll get out there soon and check it out. Universal was able to squeeze in a big announcement towards the end of last week. We finally got new details on the much anticipated and pretty obvious new water show that's coming to...
What?
We've all seen the construction going on in the Universal Studios Lagoon. And
yeah, I mean, in testing during park hours, so, you know, it's very obvious they're trying to get this thing ready. You know, we've seen the fountains testing during park hours, and once it's gotten into the evening, we've seen some of the lighting being tested. Obviously, all the rest of it's being done after hours, but... if they're testing stuff during park hours, that means they are slamming to get this thing ready
for the big summer crowds, probably.
Yeah, and I gotta say, you know, based on what they've released, and not just Universal's release, but really, you know, based on what Universal Creative Entertainment head Michael Aiello has sort of dropped tidbits, which he likes to do.
Yeah.
This thing looks impressive. They're really shooting for something like, you know, for those of us who've seen World of Color, something on that scale.
Yeah.
You know, they have basically, you know, tiered that section of Central Park to create an amphitheater that'll hold about 6,500 people, which with that amount of people, I am imagining that during, you know, busy times of the year, they're probably going to do two shows a night. So probably, one that'll start at park close, and then another one that'll probably be like probably hour 15 minutes before that.
The show's called Universal Orlando's Cinematic Celebration, and it's going to feature all the obvious big names at Universal: Harry Potter, Jurassic Park. There's going to be a DreamWorks section that's going to feature How to Train Your Dragon, Kung Fu Panda, Trolls.
And we have confirmed, because I tweeted at him the other day, and I was like, you know, I'm hoping E.T. and the escape chase saying goodbye music is somewhere in this show. And he was basically like, you bet. So
it seems like they've ended like every nighttime show with that E.T. song. So,
well, it's when it comes to movie cinematic scores, it's one of the, it's one of the most iconic, iconic and one of the best, like, pieces of movie music ever created. So it's like, why would you not use that? And I mean, it was used in the previous show.
Yeah.
To grade it is probably the best part of the previous show. So why would you not use it? And of course, one of the things they wanted to tie in with this show is to tie it into attractions and lands and characters that are actually in the parks. This is not just about the movies. The big thing being Harry Potter for the first time outside.
I didn't really
of the Wizarding World.
You know, they mentioned that when they announced the parade for Universal Studios Japan, but it didn't cross my mind until somebody mentioned it that's the case here. This will be the first time Harry Potter will be featured in a big way outside of Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade, which was really interesting because, you know, up until now they've kept everything Potter related in those two sections.
Yeah, I mean we obviously saw it with the parade in Japan. That was the first time, you know, we had Potter stuff outside of the Wizarding World, and this is going to be the second time. And, you know, apparently it's 2 minutes, it's 2 minutes part of the show, which I think the show is supposed to be approximately around 20 minutes, I think, something like that. I haven't seen a length. I cannot remember where he I don't know if he said somewhere that it, how long it was going to be.
20 minutes seems kind of long.
Well, World of Colors is God, how long is World of Colors? Like what? 25?
Is that long?
World of Colors is pretty long.
It just seems like that's a long time for a show. Maybe I'm, you know.
I mean, it's
when we went to Disneyland, we went for the 60th, so we got the 60th anniversary World of Color. We didn't get the
World of Color is 27 minutes long.
Yeah.
You got the 60th anniversary, the Celebrate version. That one was 21 and a half minutes.
Okay. So it's a little bit shorter.
Yeah. That's the great thing about World of Color. It's a 27 minute long show, but it does not feel like.
No, it doesn't.
It's that long of a show.
That's interesting.
I think he said around 20 minutes somewhere. But you know, that Harry Potter will be a big part of it. You know, we'll see all these different segments. And yeah, we've seen some testing with the fountains. The fountains look pretty much about the same as the type of ones that are used in World of Color. Yeah. I'm sure there's some stuff that they are testing after hours that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Obviously the pyrotechnics, whether I gotta imagine they're gonna use fire somewhere in this. If I was them. But you know, the big thing though is they're going to be using projection mapping on the facades of the New York Street.
Yeah, when they announced that, I was really looking at, you know, I have a few pictures on my computer of, well, I was that part of Central Park looking over the lagoon, and I was like, where are they going to put projection mapping up in New York?
Well, if you look the way it lines up, it mostly lines up with the one section of New York Street that's along the waterfront there. That's for the most part is just facades. It's not really used for any shops or anything.
Yeah, like the area right there by Transformers. Like.
Yeah, the area around Transformers, and then they'll probably do it on the front of where the locations of the projectors. I think it's like that area in front of Transformers, but then also the corner where the pizza restaurant is.
Yeah.
And possibly the facade of Fast and Furious. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head about where the pictures I've seen of where the projectors are pointing at.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're going to have not just the water mist screens, but you're also going to have stuff going on the building. So that's something that's definitely different from like World of Color that Disney has at California Adventure. So
yeah,
since Aiello has become like senior director of entertainment, they have stepped up their game.
Yeah.
Show wise, when it comes to parades, the projection shows on the castle, and
if we could just get Japan's parade here, like Universal would be like the nighttime park.
Yeah, I mean we've had that discussion before. They are going after Disney when it comes to nighttime stuff.
I mean,
they'll now have two different nighttime shows. That are really more tailor-made to having to deal with some of the issues they have to deal with when it comes to sound-wise that Disney doesn't have to deal with. The projection show on Hogwarts Castle, yeah, has two different fireworks shots, but they're definitely, you know, they're not exploding fireworks. They're just mortars going off. And this one, show will apparently still have pyrotechnics. I wouldn't be surprised if it has some less than the previous show. I'm excited for it. I'm anything that that gives you, you know, more stuff to do at night. And if it's a good enough show that you're going to want to see again and again.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping it does, is it provides that that meaning of going back. I just hope it has rewatchability, if that's a word.
Yeah, and I think it will, because I mean, and much like World of Color, it's there's so much. I imagine with this show, much like World of Color, there'll be so much going on.
Yeah,
that, you know, you'll be able to watch it, you know, again and again.
The old nighttime shows at Universal, I just got so bored of them so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, because it just wasn't, you know, they were okay. They weren't anything to write home about. But, you know, we will see. You know, they've got, luckily, the one thing they do have is, you know, they do have some great characters to work with. And the big thing is that, you know, Disney has always had over them over the years is having, like, iconic music.
Yeah.
And Universal, you know, when adding Harry Potter and then adding some of the DreamWorks stuff now.
Yeah, they have a better portfolio.
They've got a lot more to work with than they used to have to work with.
Yeah.
When it comes to visual-wise and also music-wise, you know. Cause,
and, of course, I think I bought this discussion up on Twitter. I would love to see a Halloween Horror Nights show with all this new Fountain stuff. I think
that'll be the interesting thing, because that would really maybe solve some of the issues like we've talked about with it. Would I imagine it wouldn't cost them that once the infrastructure's in. That's the most expensive part.
Yeah,
it's not going to cost them that much besides the time to run a Halloween show.
Yeah,
to run a Christmas time, maybe we'll see a Christmas time show.
Yeah. I would love to see a Halloween show, since we've lost Bill and Ted, and we now know that Academy of Villains is going in Fear Factor, supposedly, and we don't have another show yet. So could this be another show that we could see this year at Horror Nights?
Yeah, and you run it maybe three times.
Yeah.
During Halloween Horror Nights, and that you're gonna suck, you know, I don't think you're gonna fill 6,500, but you're gonna suck a couple thousand people off the walkways.
Yeah,
for I imagine maybe a Halloween Horror Nights show might be 15 minutes long, maybe a shorter show.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, especially if it's good.
Yeah,
you know, that would be the key. If it's a good show, then, you know, people will go over there and watch it, and that sucks. You know, if anything that can suck a couple thousand people off the walkways and out of queue lines for a little bit, you know, if you have a 15-minute show, you're probably looking at, you know, getting people out of the way for, you know, 30 to 40 minutes at a time.
Sure.
You know, so I think it's win-win. You know, whether we'll see that this year, I don't know, but, you know, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I am too. A much needed addition to Universal. So
yeah, I mean, I you know, those who know me, I am a huge fan of World of Color. But, you know, and if they've really, you know, so far, you know, they have really hit it out of the park with the new entertainment in the last year here with the castle projections, the new Christmas parade. It's they've really taken stuff to another level. So,
yep. Next we're going to discuss the social media meetup we went to for Jurassic World Alive.
And by the way, we got in. We weren't invited. We weren't on some special list.
Yeah, as a lot of people assume.
Because I can tell you, it was us. What, Tim Tracker and
Brian,
yeah,
from that Inside Universal,
yeah,
and I think that was it, really, as far
that
as
that was really it, yeah, you know,
quote theme park bloggers that got in,
you know, they approximately what was it, around 250 people,
yeah, I
were
think
invited into this thing.
I think I asked, and I think they said 200-250, so it was, you know, there were a lot of people that were pissed off about the Fast and Furious meetup, how quick that thing went.
But that one had like 40, it was like 40, 50 people.
Yeah, it was tiny. So this one was a little bit bigger, so you had a slightly better chance of getting into this one.
Yeah, I mean, I had three devices going to get this in, and I got us in for once. So
yeah, I completely missed it, but yeah, it was nobody really. If you watched our little vlog type video, I mentioned that, you know, nobody really knew what this meetup was going to be. They just told us to download the Jurassic World Alive app, have it ready to go, and we did, and we got there, and they pretty much told us to head back to Jurassic Park section at Islands of Adventure, and we all met in the front of the Discovery Center down by the water. They had little trail mix things set up for us to make some snacks with, and they had the vehicles from Jurassic Park out, the Jeep and the Ford Explorers, and
they had drinks and actually alcoholic drinks.
Yeah, they had a bar.
you know, it's good when they bring out free alcohol we had no idea what this was going to be. And I think really what it boiled down to was to promote the Jurassic World Alive game,
because yeah,
they had actors playing Jurassic Park employees.
Yeah, they did before they kind of let us disperse, and they did a little skit where a guy came running out saying the fences were down, and then there were a few other little things that happened. They had some funny, two or three people that, quote, worked in Jurassic Park, and they were kind of going over like safety rules and stuff and how to fight a dinosaur if you run into one, and then they dispersed us, and we got a little fanny pack with some Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom goodies in it. And basically, that was it. They let us kind of roam. We had free reign of the whole Jurassic Park section. And they encouraged you to play Jurassic World Alive. And they actually tracked, the Universal social media team. They were tracking people on Twitter and stuff. And they handed out a couple prizes at the end of the event.
Yeah, I guess apparently we didn't talk about Jurassic World Alive enough. So
yeah.
Because we were posting the crap out of the event, but apparently I guess we should have talked about Jurassic World Alive a lot more.
Yeah. We didn't post any pictures of us capturing any dinosaurs.
Yeah, we posted one of us playing the game, of me playing the game. That was about it.
Which you were horrible at, by the way. After
After I
watched that video, I was like, you were horrible at
this
game.
Well, you know what? I was holding a phone, shooting it, while I was trying to do the game at the same time. So, yeah. I mean, give me a break.
I know. But it was fun. Me and Barry, we got to ride Jurassic Park River Adventure all by ourselves. We had a boat all to ourselves.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a trip getting to basically ride that ride by. And not only did we have a boat by ourselves, we were by ourselves on River Adventure.
That was fun. And Pteranodon Flyers was open, but they were only running three cars.
Yeah.
And they were only putting one person on each car.
Yeah.
So it was like a 40-minute wait with just that 200, 250 people that were there. But it was open.
Once again, I was foiled in my chance to finally ride that freaking ride. But the big thing out of that night was we got to meet Blue.
Yeah, she made her debut, I think, before this, but it was a really good opportunity for me and Barry to meet Blue. Blue, for those of you that for some reason don't know, from Jurassic World, she's the raptor. They added her to the raptor encounter at both Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal's Islands of Adventure Jurassic Park section, which she looks absolutely amazing. And I think Michael tweeted this on his Twitter account, that these are actually like version 2.0 of the dinosaur puppets.
Yeah.
And she looks amazing. They blink now. They completely redid the whole facial structure of the dinosaurs, and they look even more like, I mean, it's dead on from the ones in the movie.
Oh no, I mean it's very impressive, especially when she's up close and stuff. I mean, it's you know, this is like version 2.0, and it's massive upgrade compared to the previous puppet.
Yeah, the
The blinking is one of the, I think, the big thing that
I was saying that
really makes her come alive.
It's such a simple effect. You don't think it would be that big of a deal, but they added the blinking, and just that little subtle addition made all the difference in the world between the original Raptors and the Raptor encounter versus the new one with Blue. I never did confirm if they're still running the old ones or it's just Blue now. I think it's just Blue.
I think it's just Blue now.
Which
would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you had Blue come out and you had the old ones come out, it would look kind of bad, to be honest. She looks so good, though. We got video up on our YouTube channel. You can check it out. I posted a video of her, just her. And then also I posted a little bit more video on our whole meetup video on the YouTube. So be sure to check that out. But yeah, she looks amazing. So if you're there at Universal, it's definitely, I know Raptor Encounter can sometimes, the wait can get kind of long-ish, but Blue's worth it. I was kind of blown away with how realistic she looks compared to the old Raptors.
Yeah, no, it's definitely impressive. Definitely, you know, a really fun and unique meet and greet experience.
Yeah, and apparently Blue loves me.
Yeah. yeah, you can thank Sin for creating that photo.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So I think that's it for theme park goodies.
I mean, we had a blast at that event. It was fun, and like Clint said, everything's on the social media, on YouTube, and the coolest part is for both of us is getting to walk out of that park at the end of the night with nobody in it.
Yeah, that was really cool. Really quick, we were leaving the Jurassic World Alive social media meetup. And, you know, obviously the park was empty because this was at what? Oh, we forgot to mention our donut.
Oh, yeah, we got a Raptor.
We got a Raptor Claw donut from Voodoo Donut, which was interesting. So that was a little parting gift. As we were leaving, they handed us a bag with the Voodoo Donut logo on it, and it had a Raptor Claw donut in it, which was pretty cool. But after that, we were leaving. And like I said, this was like, what, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning?
1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was like 1:30 in the morning. So the park's empty. You know, there's not a whole lot going on. And it's always just cool to leave a theme park with nobody there. Maybe the occasional employee team member still hanging around. But, you know, it provided for some really cool photos. And just the experience of walking through an empty theme park is always just, it's so cool for me.
Oh, no, it's one of my favorite things, and I really got to experience it back-to-back nights because, you know, we were in Animal Kingdom the following night, and we took basically the last safari of the night.
Yeah.
And which, you know, if you followed us on Twitter, it's one of the greatest nighttime safaris I've ever had.
Oh, my God, that video you got of the lions was awesome.
Oh yeah, I mean they're always active at night, but I have never seen them. They were just roaring back and forth.
That was really cool.
Between that and unfortunately I couldn't get video because it was too dark. We came upon the elephants were still out, and two of them were in the water playing.
Yeah,
splashing and playing. I mean, it was very hard to see. I mean, we had a giraffe that basically was like a bunch of giraffes right next to the truck, and best nighttime safari I've ever had. And
That was really
and
cool.
Then we get out and there's nobody in Harambe.
Yeah,
we are literally the last guests, and there's almost hardly any cast members out there. So, you know, I got some pretty cool pictures that I posted online of just, you know, Harambe in Africa with nobody in it. And then like I've said, that to me, that's one of the most magical things about theme park, you know, the parks here is, you know, getting those last rides of the night and getting to walk out when there's just nobody there.
Yeah, it's always really cool leaving the park when it's empty-ish, and, you know, you see, like I said, maybe you'll see a meandering cast member or team member, but other than that, the park is empty. So we're going to fire through some pop culture goodies here real quick. We got some trailers. We wanted to touch on E3 really quick because it was last week, and lots of cool stuff happened. We really don't talk about video games a lot, so we figured what better time to talk about video games than the biggest video game convention of the year. Obviously the big thing for Disney fans was I don't think the release date came out during E3. It was right before E3 started.
Yeah, but then they kept just dropping trailers.
Yeah, the trailers just kept on coming for Kingdom Hearts 3, which I'm not going to complain. We haven't gotten a whole lot of information. We've gotten a few teasers, but we got a trailer for the Frozen section. And then I just think there was another trailer that was just kind of a general highlight, and it showed some stuff we hadn't seen before.
And then there was the Pirates trailer.
That's what it was. Yes, thank you. The Pirates trailer for the Pirates of the Caribbean section, which was featured in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
There was a Pirates section in Kingdom Hearts 2. But then they did the Frozen trailer, and we finally got a release date, which I don't have here in front of me.
January 29th.
I was going to say January 29th. So we have a release date for Kingdom Hearts 3. So much rejoicing there. We can finally start counting down the days. I'm excited because I'm an Xbox person, and it's coming out on Xbox finally. I don't have a PlayStation, although I should, because there's a lot of great games out on PlayStation.
Yes, there is.
But
yeah, I don't play games as much as I used to, but this thing looks freaking jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stunning how amazing it looks, and I'm excited. I maybe buy only a couple few games a year anymore, and there's definitely going to be one that I pick up.
Yeah, some of the Disney doesn't and Square Enix, they don't hold back on integrating even some of the theme park aspects into Kingdom Hearts. Like you'll see some of the ride vehicles in the trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3 from, I think the teacups are in there.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few other, nods. I mean, there's probably tons. There's tons of nods to the theme parks, not just Disney characters and movies. Monsters, Inc. is going to be in this one. There's a Tangled section that we know of. I'm trying to remember all the sections we've seen in the game. But they've had all these, my only concern is, and I really haven't asked anybody that's played all these, they've had all these little mini Kingdom Hearts game in between 2 and 3. And I'm hoping I'm not going to be too confused because
yeah, I mean, it's,
they came out with all these little like Kingdom Hearts, I can't think of the name of any of them off the top of my head, but
it's all been like 2 point something.
Yeah, and they've all come out on the Nintendo DS, and I'm like, do I have to play those in order? I don't think it's gonna be required.
I don't think it will. And it's this is a continuing story, and if you play those games, that's great. But if not, I don't think it's going to really make a difference.
Yeah. And some of the other highlights we got from E3, besides Kingdom Hearts 3 goodies, at least on my side, the big thing with Nintendo was Smash Brothers.
The only thing with Nintendo.
Yeah, well, one of the big announcements with Nintendo was Super Brothers Ultimate, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Let me try that again. This is going to be like every character. Smash Brothers has seen over the last 19 years, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I watched the trailer and I was like, wow. So that's really cool. They announced that. And then I'm trying to think what else Nintendo announced.
I think that was their really, that everything was that.
Yeah, there was a lot of, I know they highlighted some of the Pokemon stuff.
I mean, the other thing was like Pokemon stuff, and then Fortnite was going to come out for this
week. Oh, yeah, that was it was like out that day. Yeah. Fortnite was coming out, which is really cool because Fortnite's a fun game, so I'm glad to see that still, it's just doing insane with how many players it's got and everything. excuse me. And then what else? Xbox, obviously Halo Infinite was announced, which I had a fanboy moment for that.
But there was a couple things Xbox announced where it was like, well, they announced Halo, but not even sure if that's going to be Xbox One or if it's going to be the first title for the new, whatever, new Xbox.
They hinted that the new Xboxes are in development, but I don't think the Xbox One S is still their target console. I don't think the Xbox One X is still a big enough audience for them to lean solely on. It's still $500.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what, or whether it's like sort of like where it's happened before, where like there's a version for the Xbox One, but then there's also, well,
I think that's what it's going to be. But Halo Infinite looks, I had a really, like I said, I was fangirling the whole trailer because they've obviously listened to the fans of Halo. They've gone back to the old art style, the old music style. As we all know, Halo 4 and 5 weren't up to par compared with the original Halo trilogy that Bungie did. So when I saw this trailer for Halo Infinite, it looked pretty promising because they went back to all the old Halo stuff, which I loved. I just couldn't get into Halo 4 and 5 like I did the original three games. So that was big news. And oh, they also announced that the cyberpunk game. I don't know if you saw that, Barry.
Oh, the
Cyberpunk 2077. At the very, very end of the Microsoft briefing, they announced Cyberpunk 2077, which looks really cool.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, it was, I think it was first announced a while ago.
Yeah, but this was a
they finally showed something.
Yeah. So that was announced. Bethesda announced that The Elder Scrolls is coming to mobile, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there was The Elder Scrolls coming to mobile, Fallout 76, which is going to be
a prequel. You
know, online multiplayer, unlike their usual single player games.
Yeah.
You know, as far as PlayStation goes, I mean, you know, the, one of the bigger ones was The Last of Us Part 2 sequel.
What was that samurai game? That looked pretty amazing.
Yeah, there was that one.
Right here, Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
That looked really cool. I guess it's like an open world samurai fighting game.
Yeah.
That looked really cool. Yeah, right here. It takes place in the 13th century Japan. That game looked, just the art direction, it looked like a beautiful game.
Yeah, there's that one, and then of course Spider-Man is finally coming. This fall.
That's the only, I mean, I love God of War. God of War is the other big franchise that I love on PlayStation. Like I said, I don't have a PlayStation. God of War has been a series of games that's tempted me to buy a PlayStation 4. But this Spider-Man game, the fact that it's not coming to Xbox, it makes me so sad because this game looks amazing.
Yeah.
Just the scale of it and the open worldness of it and just everything. Like every time I see this, every time they've shown the Spider-Man game, it looks mind blowing. Because I was a big fan of the Batman games from, what's the studio? Gosh, I can't remember the name of the studio that's doing the Spider-Man game. But it's just, they're the same ones that did the Batman games, like the Arkham games.
Oh, yeah.
That studio. And it's got that same combat style, and it looks really cool. So those are some of the highlights from E3. Lots of big announcements from everybody. So real quick, we're going to dive into our usual trailer review segment here, and then we'll get into Incredibles 2. First things first, I watched the trailer right before we started recording here because I completely forgot it came out. Although I am excited about this movie, I didn't neglect it. Is The Grinch? We got another trailer. This is the second trailer, right?
Yeah, this is the second trailer, and really, the first one was more of a teaser.
Yeah.
This one's more of a full-blown trailer, and I gotta say, I'm excited. I mean, you know, I've stated here before, I am not a fan of the Jim Carrey Grinch. I have refused to this day to watch that film, even though I love Grinchmas at Islands of Adventure. But I like the fact that they've taken the original story and they're sort of doing their own thing. It's still going to take place in Who. They haven't even uttered the word Who yet in the trailers, even though we know it's going to be Whoville, and we haven't seen Cindy Lou Who or anything like that. But I like the fact that they're sort of doing their own take on it.
It seems like they're kind of they're sticking to the traditional storyline, but they're kind of doing their own thing with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I like that. It doesn't need to be a carbon copy of the animated special. The animated special is, you know, a classic. So why not
classic?
Yeah, why not do your own sort of version of this? And I feel like almost the Grinch is sort of like, at least based on the scenes we see in the trailer, he's sort of Wile E. Coyote-ish.
Yeah, I can see that.
Where, like, you know, he's got the, you know, he's obviously smart and you know, apparently he's come up with all these inventions so he doesn't have to deal with people. And, you know, seems like he only comes out of, you know, comes down from Mount Crumpet when he needs food. It's, you know, he's sort of his own person, and I liked it. You know, obviously they're sort of setting up the fact that, you know, yeah, that he was an orphan, and it looks like, you know, he never got to celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, I noticed that in the trailer. There was that one part where, you know, he walks into the room there and there's a big, huge Christmas tree and it kind of disappears. So it seems like we'll get a little bit more details. They're going to dive into his backstory more prior to him not liking Christmas.
Yeah, and you know, I like, you know, all the stuff with Max and some of the funnier, there's some really funny moments in that trailer. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I like, you know, it definitely has the typical Illumination style.
The art direction, I mean, you got a much better perception of the art direction in this trailer as far as the Christmas stuff goes. There was a lot of really, really gorgeous shots of the Christmas decorations in this trailer and the Christmas trees. And I really like the art direction they're going with the movie. Like you said, the typical Illumination style, which isn't, you know, the Illuminations company, I guess you could call it. I like their animation style. It's very distinct compared to, you know, Pixar and, you know, all the other animation.
Yeah, I mean, it changed this. It's a certain style, but it changes depending. Mm-hmm. Each movie has its own unique look.
Exactly.
But there's definitely a sort of an Illuminations type style that they use, much in the same way Pixar's got its own sort of style in some ways.
Exactly. Like I said, you know, each one of these big animation companies kind of has their own art direction, and I like where they're going with. I like the design of the Grinch, the character himself, and then just the overall art direction of the areas in Whoville, and it looks like it'll be a really pretty movie, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest surprise trailer wise of all these new trailers that have been coming out is Dumbo. I don't know what you thought about it, but it really there's been a lot of people pretty hesitant about Tim Burton touching Dumbo, because as you've mentioned, when's the last time Tim Burton has done anything spectacular?
No, I mean, it's, I will say this, for a teaser trailer, it's a great teaser trailer.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the glimpses we do see of Dumbo look pretty good, even though there's a couple of shots in the trailer that has that stylistic CGI he likes to use that just, to me, looks like crap.
Yeah.
It's a little too human-y. I mean, albeit this is just a teaser trailer.
Oh, you mean
yeah,
like
I have a feeling we're going to get a bunch of backstory that we don't need.
So you're just meaning like the amount of people in the movie?
Yeah, I mean it's obviously, you know, obviously we all knew that this story was going to have to be fleshed out because Dumbo is one of the shortest Disney animated features.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty simplistic, however beloved story. I mean, I like the look of Dumbo. They definitely captured that.
Oh, Dumbo's adorable.
Yeah, I mean it's but like I've said, you know, Tim Burton has not made a good film in years. I mean, he's been sort of, he has his tricks and they've gotten sort of tiresome.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I hope, you know, this coming 2019, besides Lion King, the other two, Dumbo and Aladdin, are very, very iffy.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen any of Aladdin yet, but it's Guy Ritchie directing, who, once again, was the last time Guy Ritchie made a good film.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was sort of tone deaf of having an English guy direct this movie that's going to have a bunch of Middle Eastern, you know, Asian descent actors, Asian African descent actors. It never made any sense to me. No more than having Tim Burton direct Dumbo made any sense to me. So,
yeah. Well, Dumbo kind of has that whimsical, you know, silly.
I mean, there are the pink elephants on parade is you know, and they so showed a flash of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw we're gonna get the pink elephants.
I mean, that's, you know, that's right up his alley.
Trippy stuff.
But you know, the only other interesting thing to me was seeing Danny. They showed a shot of Danny DeVito and
I completely forgot he's in it.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, oh yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, I mean he's definitely using some people he's worked with before, like Danny DeVito and Eva Green and was Michael Keaton in one of those shots?
Which one?
Was that Michael Keaton? I can't remember.
I'd have to go back and watch. I don't know which one you're talking about.
I don't think we listed him in the credits.
Yeah.
But I saw Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I saw him in the trailer.
Yeah, it's definitely Eva Green, Colin Farrell, obviously. Michael Keaton is in this movie. So you've got, you know, he's reunited with Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito, and Eva Green was in the Miss Peregrine's School of Peculiar, whatever. I think that was the last movie he did.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some of the people who he's worked with before who are in this movie, and I really am going to be interested to see how this movie ends up being.
Yeah, I'm remaining hopeful. Dumbo is another one of those Disney classics to where I've enjoyed, for the most part, pretty much all these live action Disney movies, Beauty and the Beast, what have you, and they haven't been amazing films. I'm very curious to see what.
I would say Jungle Book was the only one to me that was an actual improvement over the original, because the original Jungle movie, I know we it is beloved, and I mean I love it, but it's basically a series of vignettes.
Yeah.
Whereas the live action one actually put together more of a story.
Yeah.
But we will find, you know, we will find out March 29th.
Yep.
Of next year. And, I hope it's good. 'Cause I mean, like you said, except for a couple of these, you know, I'm definitely one who was massively disappointed in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast was an interesting creature with what the heck's her name?
Emma Watson. And that was the beginning and the ending of my biggest problem with that movie.
Yeah.
And she's a great actress, but she can't sing.
Yeah, a lot of the auto-tuning they did with her voice kind of bugged the hell out of me.
And you, with not having Belle have a powerful voice, it really didn't.
She was a cute Belle, but she wasn't singing Belle.
No, and that's been the problem with wanting to cast A-list people in some of these musicals. It's just, you've got to have
people
who
can
sing.
Yeah.
I would have much rather had an unknown play Belle,
yeah,
than be able to sing instead of someone who she couldn't sing.
Yeah, no, I agree there.
It was obvious.
Yep. So last but not least, we are going to discuss, although we didn't post it on the website. Your Halloween theme is horrible. Halloween.
Well, it's not like it's Friday the 13th where it's what?
Yeah. No, it's I forgot there's an actual pronunciation for it. But anyways, we got our first trailer for the much anticipated Halloween sequel. Yes, it is a sequel. There's lots of confusion. But it is not a sequel to 2 or H2O or any of those. It is a sequel to the original Halloween, right?
Yeah, it's it's literally
it's a direct sequel to the original.
It's also retcon. Yeah, it's retconning the original film's ending. So you know, Halloween ends with Michael being shot multiple times by Dr. Loomis. He falls off a balcony, and we presume he's been killed. But when Loomis looks over the balcony, are greeted with the sight of an empty lawn.
Yeah, but this one, they're basically portraying
whatever happened then, he has been put into a maximum security asylum.
Yeah, that's what they're going with this one, is he was actually arrested that night when he, 40 years later, and he's been in prison ever since.
Yeah.
So the trailer was really interesting to see with where they're going with this movie. I'm excited.
Yeah,
about
I
it.
Mean, I'm definitely interested. Even though you know some of the initial shots in the trailer, the premise of this British documentary crew, like,
yeah, that was kind of
who
weird.
Cleared them to come in there and bring the mask. It's like,
yeah, it's like,
whose genius idea was that?
And then of course we got the usual bus crashes, Michael escapes, storyline, you know. But
yeah, I think this movie is going to rise and fall with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Cause it's, you know, at least they show in the trailer, it's like she, ever since that night, she has been preparing
for his basically return.
Yeah. She wants to kill him.
Yeah.
She, you know.
And that's the other thing that's really interesting about this one is, you know, since they're forgetting all these sequels and stuff, these sequels, like 2 and H2O and all these other sequels that they did after the original Halloween, they made Michael Myers look like this superhuman, like, badass that could take bullets and. You know, they're basically forgetting all that and, you know, kind of bringing the humanization back to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they've gotten rid of the, you know, what was in Halloween 2 that he's her brother. That's gone.
Yeah. That's not even the thing. So,
yeah, I mean, that's been removed. You know, it really comes down to, which makes it, I think, more interesting, because then he just randomly did this.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's you know, and she's been waiting for years to, you know, she's almost, you know, I think one of the things what she says, like, she's prayed every night he would escape so she can kill him.
Yeah, she said in the trailer, like, I've been praying every night that he escapes so I can kill him or something like that. So, I'm excited. It was good to see Jamie Lee Curtis back in the spotlight in a Halloween movie. Halloween's one of my all-time favorite horror movies. So,
I remember watching it when I was younger, and it was it was truly terrifying.
Yeah, it still holds up to this day as one of the all-time classics that, you know, you can't beat. So it'll be interesting to see how this does at the box office. I don't think it's going to do insane numbers. It's not going to break any records, I don't think. I would be surprising if it did.
I think it really is going to come down to, like, for some people, probably reviews.
If it
ends up getting, like, really great,
like,
reviews,
word of mouth.
Yeah, then, I mean, it'll do well the first weekend, but how well it keeps doing is, if it gets great reviews,
yeah,
then I can definitely, you know, see it doing well. It's not going to do it numbers. It was like a sort of like, not a commonplace thing when it comes to horror.
Yeah, it was really interesting as far as how it...
And it's also like one of the most popular Stephen King novels.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, combined with the nostalgia for the miniseries, that sort of like created sort of an interesting experience for it to really explode. And on top of it being an amazing movie.
Yeah. So Halloween hits theaters on October 19th. So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited. Halloween's my favorite holiday, and you know, the movie just it.
What? Halloween's your favorite holiday? What?
You didn't know that? breaking news. No.
Halloween's our favorite holiday.
Yeah. This is true. So that comes out mid October. I don't think we're gonna see Halloween at Horror Nights this year. As much as I would love to see it.
You think that rumor is not true?
I don't think it is. I don't think we'll see it this year.
I wonder, especially with it not coming out till October 19th.
I think that's a big part of it. The movie doesn't come out until October 19th. So
I definitely could see where it's probably not going to get it, and especially it's funny how we say in this where we sort of said the opposite thing a previous podcast.
Especially
if it's looking more, when you really think about it, that they're really going heavy into 80s themes.
Exactly, that's the other
this
reason
year.
I
could definitely see something else coming our way.
Yeah, I just
IP wise.
I don't see Halloween happening this year because, I mean, like you said, the movie comes out the 19th. We'd almost be a month into Halloween Horror Nights already.
Yeah. So. Once you think about, yeah, I didn't even think about the release date.
Yeah. I mean, we'd be a month into Horror Nights.
Yeah. So
give or take a few
days. I could definitely see, see that. So,
you know, we'll see. But I don't think we're going to get it at Horror Nights this year. But if it did, I would be pleasantly surprised because I've loved all the Halloween houses we've got at Horror Nights.
No, both of them have been very impressive. The first Halloween house, though, it was super impressive
when they did the house facade and everything.
Yeah, the house facade and just how tight it was and just. I mean, both you and I, you know, we do not get that often, and they got me a few times in that house.
Yeah.
Almost every time I went in, someone got me in that house.
Yeah, no, so. Every time both Halloween houses have been really good. So if we do get one this year, I would be pleasantly surprised and amazed because we're only three houses in, and the lineup has been crazy this year so far. So. All right, we gotta wrap things up here real quick. We're gonna break down Incredibles 2. We'll do a spoiler, I guess, alert.
Yes, there'll be spoilers ahead. So this is the last thing we're gonna talk about on this podcast. So if you haven't seen this movie, stop this podcast right now.
Yeah.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I actually saw it, like I said, this morning. And, you know, there's so many layers to the comedy in this movie. But I loved it. I liked it better than the first one. I can easily say that without a doubt, seeing it the first time.
Yeah, not only did I like it better than the first one, I really think it's the movie of the summer. It's
even
though we still got a few more big ones coming out, I really don't see, and I loved Avengers Infinity War. I like Deadpool 2. This is the best movie I've seen this summer.
I think I could agree with you. If I put I have a feeling
it's good. It is the best movie of the summer. It's when it come, if we're talking big movies, it takes a lot of the great things about the first movie. You know, so there are some predictable things in the movie, but I mean, that's not surprising considering how many superhero movies there are. It's hard to do anything unpredictable anymore.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I loved it. I say, you know, yes, it moves in a predictable direction, but there's definitely a few little plot twists in there that I didn't sort of see coming. Not the villain. You see the villain coming a mile away.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
But I didn't see it turning where the kids had to save everybody.
Yeah, I kind of had that inclination that they were going with that direction. You know, after she got taken over, and then after he got taken over, you're like, okay, the kids are going to have to be the ones that are going to save the day.
Yeah.
I didn't totally see it. Kind of like the villain in the movie, whatever her name is, Screen Slayer. But yeah, the movie, has pulled in an estimated $182 million this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
That's like blown past
Finding Dory. was $135 million.
Yeah, almost $50 million more than Finding Dory. Which, those of us who are fans knew this movie was going to be bigger than anybody thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's been 13 and a half years.
Yep.
To a movie that almost every single one of us wanted a sequel to it, literally the moment the film was over with.
It grossed another record-breaking $18.5 million on Thursday previews alone. That's crazy. But like I was saying at the beginning when we first started talking, you know, there's so many layers to this movie. As a parent of three kids, that adds a whole another layer of hilarity to some of the scenes in this movie. If you're not a parent, some of the jokes were, you know, funny, but then the other layer are the dad moments when he's trying to take care of these kids by himself and she's out fighting crime.
Yeah.
Again, me as a parent of three kids, I've had nights where I'm alone with the kids, you know, and Cheryl goes, you know, out and does whatever. She's working or whatever. And so, you know, it becomes relatable. And just some of the, I mean, as everybody's saying, Jack steals the movie.
Oh my God. Every scene that Jack is in, he steals.
Every little giggle that he does and every little scene that he does is just, the whole theater was bursting into laughter.
Oh no. I mean the scene with the raccoon was,
oh my God,
it was hilarious.
Him and fighting the raccoon.
And then as usual, the Edna Mode part is
that was really cool how they did that with her babysitting and stuff like that. And, oh my God.
Yeah, no. That was you know, she stole that part and
yeah, I was wondering the whole movie. I was like, how are they going to introduce Edna Mode into this? And they did it perfectly.
Yeah, no, I mean it was really, really just, the movie was a great ride. And you know, and we haven't even talked about, you know, it's really Elastigirl's movie.
Yeah, they really they made her the centerpiece of the movie, which I really enjoyed. It was really cool seeing her kind of the, you know, getting put front and center in the movie, and you know, dad, you know, staying home watching the kids. But if you break it down to just her superhero, super part of the movie. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, as amazing as the action scenes were in the first movie, the ones in this movie were, like, stunning.
Way over the top compared to the first
one. I mean, just way over the top compared to the first one, and just... I mean, in an age where we've seen so many superhero action stuff,
yeah,
they still managed to just come up with stuff that was just wow.
That's the thing with this movie too, is it was a really good superhero movie. I mean, it sounds weird for me to say that it's The Incredibles, but if you look at the movie just as a superhero movie, it was really cool.
Oh, no. I mean, well, we've said, many of us have said for years, the first movie is one of the best superhero movies ever made.
Yeah.
You know, and especially at the time it came out, it was the best. It was one of, if not the best superhero movie.
Yeah. No, just as a superhero movie alone, it's really good. We get introduced to some characters, to some other superheroes besides Frozone. And the Incredibles family, there's some new superheroes that are introduced that are pretty, that have a couple funny moments in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, we get introduced some new superheroes. Frozone gets a little bit bigger part of the story this time.
Yeah, I told that to Shiro, because I wanted to tell, because she hasn't seen it yet, and I kind of wanted to tell her when I got home. I was like, one thing that I really liked was Frozone got a little bit more screen time, which when I can get more Samuel L. Jackson in a movie, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, sort of everybody got more of a story this time. Even, you know, both Violet and Dash too, both got sort of bigger stories. This movie is more of an ensemble, whereas the first movie was more about Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
You know, this one is more of a, you know, as it should be, you know, because they're now fighting as a family. It's more of an ensemble picture involving the entire family and their, you know, their friends. And,
yep.
You know, I loved all, I mean, the character design was great, including, you know, all the new characters and.
Yeah, they didn't change the art direction a whole lot because, I mean, like you said, it's almost been 14 years since we've seen the original, since the original's come out, I should say. But they really, they kept the same art direction as the first one, but they gave it, you know, obviously there's more textures and it just looks more, it looks more current.
Yeah, no, I mean, the animation is while it kept the style of the first film, it's next level.
Yeah,
because I rewatched the first film recently, and it's definitely
we watched it last night.
While it still looks good, it's definitely, you know, things have advanced in those time.
If you watch the first one, you go and watch this one, you can definitely see the improvements they've made. Yeah, in animation. Yeah,
the textures and everything. Yeah, just a whole new different level, and you know, the new characters, you know, Winston Dever, who's voiced by Bob Odenkirk, I loved his character being, he's like, you know, a superhero fan, you know, who happens to be a titan of industry, and I mean the great look of his sister Evelyn.
Yeah,
I loved the look, the look of her, because it was that sort of world weary, almost 1960s looking type, you know,
yeah,
woman, and just they nailed the look of all the characters, and you know, we got to see a little bit more of the world that they live in.
Yeah, they that was the other thing that was really cool, is we got to see a lot more exploration of, you know, their city, I guess you could say. So I loved it. I loved it better than the first one. It's great. Go see it. You'll take the whole family, because it's such a fun time, especially Jack-Jack. I mean, I could watch 2 hours of Jack-Jack just goofing off, because he makes the movie. There would not be half the comedy scenes in the movie if Jack-Jack wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jack-Jack definitely steals every scene he's in, and definitely the right, you know, every little gag with him is hilarious, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again, especially I think we're going to go see it in the Dolby Cinema this time, so we can get that nice
get that nice luxury feel.
Yeah, that nice picture and sound. I'm going to be interested to see. You know, we were already expecting Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom to not even come close.
Yeah.
To Jurassic World, I think this is going to really hit it even harder.
Yeah.
Because you know, if it drops about as much as Dory did, you know, this movie could still make $100 million next weekend.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jurassic World will probably still be number one, but it's, you know, it could end up being close now.
It could be a close one.
The tracking for Jurassic World has not been good.
Yeah. Going back really quick, we got to wrap things up here. We were talking about, you know, seeing Incredibles in different theaters and stuff. I saw they actually have, because, you know, there's a lot of strobe effects in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, I forgot what they call it. Like movies that are safe for people that have those type of disabilities, like epilepsy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting that they did that. I saw one of the local theaters here in Orlando did it. So there are theaters out there. There was lots of warnings on Twitter and Facebook for families going to see this movie. There's a lot of strobe scenes with lots of flashing lights. I don't know of all the disabilities, but there are disabilities that have people kind of prone to that sort of light action, you know, the typical warnings you see for people that are sensitive, that sort of thing. So there are theaters out there that are doing that. So that's one option. If you have somebody that's sensitive to strobe lights, just be mindful of seeing Incredibles 2. There are theaters out there that have those alternative viewings. I don't know what they change. Obviously, they get rid of all the strobe stuff, but they're out there. Yeah. So I just wanted to quick note that that they have those out there. So anyways, that's it. Went over. This is a long one this week, but it was worth it. We had a lot to talk about. I was actually worried going through last week that we weren't going to have enough to talk about, but towards the end of the week, we had the water show announced and Tokyo announced, so that gave us a little bit more meat on our bones this week. So, yeah, we got some. I'm working on some stuff. I'm trying to get the kinks worked out. Not really the kinks. I'm just trying to figure it out. You guys probably saw me post on Twitter and stuff. I'm trying to figure out this OBS studio thing. And we're discussing. I talked with Barry a little bit before our recording here of streaming the podcast on YouTube. We'll have basically a video version of the podcast. We'll have, you know, if we could have whatever we're talking about up on the YouTube live stream, whether it's a video clip or a screenshot or a, you know, whatever. So that's one thing I'm working on. Maybe we'll get that up and going. And, as usual, you can follow us on all of our socials, and I'll let Barry do that because my voice is shot.
At Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Like and follow our Facebook page. YouTube.com/ThrillGeek. Subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can check out a video of Blue now at the Raptor encounter at Universal Orlando. And we did a sort of vlog of the Jurassic World Alive event, and that's also on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, that was my first jab at doing a vlog style video. It's a learning experience. But we'll get there. I think that's it. Anything else coming up?
That's it. Obviously, coming up soon here will be Toy Story Land opening. So that's coming right around the corner. Like you said, we will be getting out to the new Guardian show at Epcot. So we'll have something new on that soon. And then, of course, any moment now, the new Universal Nighttime show will debut. As usual with Universal, we may not find out till the day before that the show is opening. So
unless they do some sort of soft openings for it.
Yeah. Which that would not surprise me.
Yeah. But, so
I still think it seems to be maybe that they're, with the way that they're testing this thing, they're shooting for like 4th of July week, maybe.
Yeah. So, we'll
even
see.
Though based on the current, like, pictures. They still got to finish building some parts of that amphitheater for this thing, because there's definitely still some dirt.
Yeah,
where they're supposed to be concrete. So,
once again, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those podcasts. We're on Spotify. Yep, we're on Spotify, and all these areas where you can listen to us. Please review us, especially on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Hopefully, it's 5 stars. Us yakking our mouths is entertaining enough for you, because the reviews really help us out. So do that, and we would greatly appreciate that. So, all right, thanks guys again for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.